Today on Know the Truth, a message from Philip DeCourcy.
Good decisions usually come from good advice. Advice from godly people, more seasoned people than ourselves. While it is seldom sought, it is highly recommended by the Bible. The book of Proverbs tells us, get all the advice and instruction you can and be wise the rest of your life.
Many people believe they have no control over their destiny, but who we are and where we end up is the result of our life decisions. Welcome to Know the Truth. I'm Wayne Shepherd, and today Philip DeCourcy brings us to Proverbs for a timely message on living life wisely. We're learning what we must do in order to take a step in the right direction. That's the name of today's message. And later on, I'll tell you about a resource that will help you take a stand for Christ in the face of opposition. Learn more at ktt.org. Now, here's Pastor Philip.
A couple were out celebrating their 50th anniversary with some friends, and the friends, intrigued at the thought that this couple had clocked up so many miles in terms of marriage, that they asked them the question, you know what, 50 years marriage, that's quite a feat in today's culture. We're wondering if you have any tips for success in marriage. What's the secret to your longevity and your life together? Well, the wife piped up very quickly. She said, I think I can tell you the success of our many years together. On our wedding day, we decided that when it came to all the major decisions, my husband would make them. And when it came to all the minor decisions, I would make them. That's the secret of our success. In fact, in 50 years of marriage, we haven't had to make any major decisions. Well, you get the story, don't you? Get the point. It would be nice, wouldn't it, if you could go through life without making any major decisions, or like in the case of our hand-packed husband, if somebody would make them for you. That would be easier, but it wouldn't be real. Choices and decisions are inescapable, unavoidable. The road of life will bring us to many intersections that will offer us many different choices and paths to take. And you and I need to have our decision-making process mapped out ahead of time, so that when we come to those crossroads, that we're not befuddled or find ourselves in a muddle, but we know this is the way that God would have us go. The glory and the terror of the human experience for those made in the image of God is that God has made us in such a way that we are rational beings who can think our way through to a decision, and we are morally accountable before God for those decisions. That's the uniqueness of the human experience. We have been made in the image of God, and as God reveals His mind to us on the matters concerning life, you and I need to take our minds and make reasoned decisions. And we make those decisions knowing that we will be held morally accountable to our Creator for our choices. That's a glory and it's a terror all at the same time. We saw that choice is a pervasive and a potent factor in our life. To a large extent, who we are, what we are, and where we are has been determined by those choices we have made right up until this moment. I mean, choices set us on a path in life. We make one choice, it invites another choice, it encourages another choice, and before you know it, we have a pattern of behavior, and that is either good or it's bad based on those decisions and those choices. We are the sum of our decisions. And therefore, the hardest thing to learn in life is which bridges to cross and which bridges to burn. And the book of Proverbs is here to help us, because this is a book that sets before us two paths. There's the path to wisdom and there's the path to folly. And this book encourages us to take certain paths in life which are good and godly and ultimately helpful. And so I want to come back into the text of Proverbs and pick up where we left off. In fact, I want to revisit the first point, because there's something I've kind of been thinking about and mulling over this past week that I want to share with you. Good decision-making involves or requires consecration. It is the right kind of person who will ultimately do the right kind of thing. It is good people who ultimately make good decisions. And therefore, that involves character and commitment. You and I have to develop godly character. You and I have to open our lives to God and commit ourselves to doing His will if you and I are ever to make good decisions. God will not lead those who are not open to obeying what He's about to say and where He's about to point. We saw that we've got to guard our heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. We saw that we needed to commit our way to the Lord, that our thoughts might be established. We saw that we need to make good decisions in the small matters of life, and that will set a path when it comes to the big matters of life. Our feet will never be pointed in the right direction if our heart is straying from God. We've got to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. We've got to renew our mind after the Word of God, and only then will we come to know what is that good and acceptable will of God for our life. Now, that's the issue of consecration. God will only lead those who are willing to follow Him. But there is a further thought there in terms of this development of godly character and this commitment to doing God's will. It brings me to think with you just for a moment on a thought I've garnered from Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 26. Turn to Proverbs 4 and verse 26. You'll probably read it something like this. Ponder the path of your feet, that your way or your thoughts may be established. I like the way the New Living Translation puts it. Mark out a straight path for your feet, then stick to the path and stay safe. This is a verse that encourages us when it comes to decision making, that all our decisions are predicated upon a decision, and that is a predisposition to obedience. Before you and I make any other decision, we have got to decide for God's will. We've got to know what God wants us to do through heeding His word, and once we know it, we'll mark out a straight path, the path we know God wants us to take, and we'll stick to it, and that will be the safe path. Or as the King James or the other translation put it, let's ponder the path of our feet. Let's think ahead where our feet are taking us, where our decisions are taking us, and let's have a predisposition to ensure that what we do and where we go is all a matter of obedience to God. I mean, that's what you see from the surrounding verses. Back up in the verse 25, and then we'll go forward again. Look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. Mark out a straight path for your feet, then stick to the path and stay safe. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. This verse is encouraging us to make a commitment of the heart to do right ahead of time. This is an important part of decision-making. What this verse is saying that we ought to have a prior commitment to doing only what is right. And I want to tell you this, if you commit yourself to this, if you make a decision and a choice here to map out a path of obedience for your life ahead of time, that once you know the will of God as it's revealed in His word, you're going to find you don't have as many choices to make. When you have a prior commitment to a direction, every intersection then doesn't need to become a crisis. Seems to me that's a good analogy for life. That's what Proverbs is saying. Ponder the path of your feet. Mark out the path of your feet. Stick to your path. That's the safe path. And yet we get ourselves into a muddle in life because we haven't made our mind up to obey God. We're ignorant of His word, or should we not be ignorant of it? Worst of all, we decide just to disobey it. And we get ourselves into relationships and business alliances and pursuits of pleasure and entertainment that if we really step back and we had a prior commitment to obedience, we wouldn't find ourselves as confused or muddled as we find ourselves. I deal with young people, and sometimes I deal with not so young people who come in and say, Pastor, I don't know what to do. I like this guy, but and we've spent some time together, and he's a nice guy, but I gotta be honest, he's not a Christian, Pastor, and I don't know what to do. And they're all confused and in a bind, and their emotions are torn in all sorts of directions, and this intersection has become a crisis when it shouldn't be a crisis. They should have driven straight through it, not to stop and meet that boy or that girl, knowing that a prior commitment to obedience means you don't date unsaved people. How can two walk together except they be agreed? If marriage is the greatest union in life, then you would want to have a union in Jesus Christ with those who are in union with Jesus Christ. That's what the Word of God teaches. So young people will save themselves a lot of heartache when they're about 15 or 16 and they make a covenant with God or write something in the flyleaf of their Bible. I am not going to date an unsaved person. I am going to mark out a straight path for my feet. I'm going to stick to it, and that's the safe way to go. And it's the same for adults. This is a great way to live. Have a predisposition to obey what you know is true in God's Word. And if you make that choice and you follow that path, I'll guarantee you, you'll cut out a lot of choices you'll have to make in life because God's already made them for you. And it's we get ourselves into a bind when we start to take those choices to ourselves. Christians get themselves into all kinds of trouble because they haven't made up their mind to be obedient. Obedience closes the mind to sin. We need to think ahead. Our young women need to think ahead and say, you know what? God commands me to be a keeper at home, to love my husband and raise my children. Therefore, I need to make a commitment that when my kids are small, I'm not going to be in the workplace. I'm going to be at home where God tells me to be. And you know what? If you make that commitment early enough, then when you're at college or you're making career choices, you'll be very careful. And you'll not find yourself in a bind because you've got into a house way over your head. There's a mortgage that takes two paychecks. And therefore, although your heart knows you need to be home with the kids, why would you want anybody else bringing up your child? That has always confused me. Why would you hand your kid over to somebody else 8 hours a day and you get them for 2 to 3 hours before you put them to bed? But those young couples are in a bind. They know that's not the best path to take, but there wasn't a prior commitment to obedience, and they got themselves in the pursuit of mere material well-being to a point where now it's harder to obey. And the intersection has become a crisis. And we could go on multiplying those things. Do you want to know what path your feet ought to take? Well, look at God's Word. Once you've got His mind on marriage, courtship, business, pleasure, entertainment, whatever, then set your feet on that path. And that's a safe path to take. But it's going to take prior commitment. Let me give you an illustration of this. It's a great one. I'm leading a men's Bible study here on a Tuesday morning. And we're working through a book. And the reading for this week led me to come across this story regarding Robert McQuilkin, who was former president of Columbia Bible College. And in 1990, he wrote a letter of resignation from the presidency of that college. Not because anybody wanted him to resign. He didn't want to resign. The board didn't want him to resign. But you see, his wife Muriel had contracted Alzheimer's disease. And over a number of years, it had ravaged her to a point where she could hardly remember who she was, where she was, and what she was doing at any given time. And Robert McQuilkin understood that this woman needed 24-hour care. And he was in a bind. Should he stay on and be president of Columbia Bible College? Should he seek her care through the care of others? Should he resign and spend his time taking care of his wife? He decided to resign. Let me read you a line from his letter. This is an important insight. He said, "The decision to resign was in a sense made 42 years ago when I promised to Muriel that I would love her in sickness and in health until death parted us." There's our point. He had made a commitment 42 years ago. He made a covenant before God that he would not leave this woman. He would love her thick and thin, sickness and health, loss and gain, until death, not divorce, separated them or circumstances. And he says, really, while I made a choice, it was a choice I had made 42 years ago. I tell you this, when you commit to keep covenant with God and His Word and His will, your choices will be much easier when you have a predisposition to obedience. Let's move on. And this not only requires consecration, it requires consultation. Here's the point here. This is our second thought about decision making. Not only requires consecration, but consultation. Good decisions usually come from good advice. Good decisions usually come from good advice. Advice from godly people, more seasoned people than ourselves, While it is seldom sought, it is highly recommended by the Bible. Let me take you through a few verses to underscore this. Proverbs 12, verse 15. Fools think they need no advice, but the wise listen to others. Proverbs 15, verse 22. Plans go wrong for lack of advice. Many counselors bring success. Proverbs 19, verse 20. Get all the advice and instruction you can and be wise the rest of your life. This is a lost art in our culture. Our culture is bloating the ego of our young people, again, causing them to forget that knowledge is not truth and information is not wisdom. And you and I need the advice and the insight of others for two reasons. One, they provide us objectivity and they provide us wisdom. Counsel from others provides us a check and a balance. Sometimes we can either get so excited about a situation that we run ahead of ourselves, or we can become so fearful about a situation, we kind of get paralyzed and we get lost in an emotional fog. And advice from a good advisor helps us to get objectivity. Come on now, you're going too fast. You forgot this. You should have thought about this. That would not be a wise path to take. Or come on now, move forward. That's a good decision about to make. You don't need to be frightened. Let me show you why all your reasoning is sound and your decision-making sounds good to me. Others provide us objectivity. In Proverbs 18 and verse 1, the New Living Translation puts it, a recluse is a self-indulgent, snarling at every sound principle of conduct. The recluse there is someone that isolates himself. The person that isolates himself and considers himself an island unto himself is a foolish person. No man is an island. We are all made the better or the worse for our interaction with others. That's the way God has made us. We are social beings, and to be a recluse, to be an isolationist, is not a good path to take in life because you will lose objectivity. There's a second reason, not only objectivity, but wisdom. There are others who are wiser than us. Remember that the wise man in the book of Proverbs is someone who has lived long enough to observe certain things about the way God works and the way the world works under God. And therefore, they have written down here these time-tested, weather-beaten principles and observations about life. And you know what? If you can get into the company of that kind of person, and I've had a number of them along my life, they are worth their weight in gold. Proverbs 15, verse 14 says, a wise person is hungry for truth while the fool feeds on trash. You see, wisdom forged on the anvil of experience, purified in the crucible of pain, that's wisdom that you and I need to seek. Wisdom comes, remember, as I've just said, from those who have observed life at length and understood it by experience and have come to understand something of how it works in concert with how God works. In the best of circumstances, wisdom comes with age. Now, I'd like to be able to say that about all older people, but that's not true. There are some people who have had 2 years of experience 10 times. They haven't had 20 years of experience. But for the most part, you'll find that the silver-haired or the gray-haired person has seen things and done things and has understood things that are a great help to you. You can even learn from their bad decisions as well as their good decisions. And therefore, it's important that you and I take counsel, not to be a recluse, an individualist, or an isolationist. Though good advice lies deep within a person's heart, the wise will draw it out. If you're going to seek counsel, seek it from someone who's got a maturity about them, who's lived long enough to understand life and who understands the depth of your own experience. Sometimes we become so confused in life, we're not even sure how to explain to others what we're thinking. And a really wise, mature person's able to do that. So look for mature counsel. Look for multiple counsel. In Proverbs 11, verse 14, here's what we read. Proverbs 11, verse 14, without wise leadership, a nation falls. With many counselors, there is safety. You don't want to base a big decision upon the advice of one person. If it's that big, if it is that impactful, you want to get a couple of perspectives. Now, not too many. Too many counselors will leave you in a state of confusion. Your head will be spinning. You'll be in what we call the paralysis of analysis. You'll not be sure what to do with all this information. And they could leave you in a state of indecision. But you need to take counsel from a number of sources. Multiple counsel. There are different people that God will use in our life at different times and seasons. Not all the same. Mature counsel, multiple counsel. Finally, moral counsel. Back in Proverbs 1 verse 7, we read that the beginning of wisdom is to be found in the fearing of God. When you seek counsel from someone, you should seek it from someone that knows God and knows how to handle His word. Remember, we are rational beings who are morally accountable for the decisions we make because we've been made in the image of God. And God will make a judgment on all our judgments. And therefore, when you and I are about to make a judgment, I want to get counsel from someone who loves God with all their heart and with all their strength and loves their neighbor as themselves, who can handle God's word. If I want counsel from someone, I want to know that somewhere in this conversation, they're going to say, look, get your Bible. I want to take you to a passage, and I want to help you see what God would have you do in this situation. Because blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Psalm 1, verse 1. Be very careful about taking advice from secular psychiatrists and psychologists whose worldview and whose window on the world is godless. God's nowhere to be found in their counsel. And yet you're going to take that godless counsel, you're going to make a decision for which God will hold you accountable on that final day of judgment. Come on. Seek yourself out a godly pastor, a wise ABF leader, a biblical counselor, and seek for them to point out the ways of God's word and the path your feet should walk.
This is Know the Truth with Philip DeCourcy and a message on living wisely called A Step in the Right Direction, Part 2. Visit ktt.org to hear it again, and Philip will be back in a moment, so stay with us. Well, we learned today that good decisions usually come from good advice, and that's why we need godly people in our lives who are more seasoned in their faith than ourselves. And I know many of our listeners depend on the solid biblical teaching of Philip DeCourcy to grow each day in their faith and in their works. If that's you, and you've been encouraged by the teaching here at Know the Truth and want to see it continue on your station, we'd like to hear from you. As a listener-supported ministry, it's your financial partnership that allows us to share the gospel with the world in need of truth so they can learn to live a life pleasing to God. Just call with your gift 888-644-8811. Or give online at ktt.org. And to thank you for your gift of any amount, we'll send you a book titled God versus Government. This book follows Pastors John MacArthur and James Coates and their courageous decisions to reopen despite orders to remain closed during the 2020 pandemic. The ensuing legal battles raised important questions about religious freedom, and more importantly, illuminated what it looks like to take a stand when Christ and compliance collide. This book provides guidance and wisdom on how to respond when the state encroaches upon the church and looks to the Bible for answers about remaining discerning and faithful to our Heavenly Father's commands, even when society tells us to do otherwise. Again, call 888-644-8811 or give online at ktt.org. Now, with a few closing remarks, here again is Pastor Philip.
Hi, Philip DeCourcy back again. I want to take a brief moment to tell you how you can stay connected with Know the Truth. You can visit us online at ktt.org, and there you'll find individual, instructive, and inspiring resources, like my Truth Matters devotional, which challenges believers to embrace God's unchanging word in a changing world and live each day for His glory. You'll also find links to our Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter pages, so that you can stay up to date on all things Know the Truth and easily share the gospel message with others. You can also download the KTT app or podcast for easy listening on the go. Just search the App Store or podcast for Know the Truth with Philip DeCourcy.
Thank you, Philip. And you can learn more about all these resources at ktt.org. I'm Wayne Shepherd. Join us tomorrow as Philip concludes today's message titled A Step in the Right Direction, Part 2. That's Friday on Know the Truth. Today's program was produced and sponsored by Know the Truth Incorporated. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free."